This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
So we're not even into December yet, and already there have been five managerial changes in the Premier League. There's currently vacancies at Everton and West Brom. It looks like Sam Allardyce has been linked with Goodison Park, whereas Alan Pardew, if you will, looks to be linked with the West Brom job. This follows on from Roy Hodgson getting the job at Palace, from David Moyes getting the job at West Ham. I think, just simply put, why is it these old managers keep getting a chance?
Premier League loves your da. No, I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, it's obviously, it seems bizarre that in a league that has so much money and so much riding on success, that these clubs are so reliant on these old tested coaches. But I guess that in itself is the point. You know, what people, regardless of what people might think of David Moyes in the last like 12 or 18 months, he has a proven record in the Premier League. Roy Hodgson as well, and other coaches as well who've been linked. Like you said, for example, Sam Allardyce has got, he's probably one of the best coaches in the Premier League era, in my opinion, considering clubs he's taken and what he's done with them, pound for pound, if you want to put it that way. So I think any club outside maybe the top four would do well with Sam Allardyce, in my opinion. So I think to a large degree it makes perfect sense that you have coaches who are tried and tested being linked with jobs that teams and chairmen have to get absolutely right, because if they don't, there's such a huge drop off when they follow the Premier League.
Yeah, I think it's if you take by case by case, I Sam Allardyce is maybe the exception out of those, because as Stefan says, he does have a proven record of, particularly if you're aiming to save a Premier League club, he's got a great record. Moyes is a bizarre one for me. I think of all the clubs in the Premier League, West Ham, I think, is probably the worst fit for David Moyes. I'm of the opinion that David Moyes is pretty much done as a top level manager. But let's just say, you know, let's look at maybe what the argument is about what he does well. West Ham's a terrible fit. Hodgson and Moyes are two managers with proven records, but I think from another kind of era of the Premier League, you know, particularly Moyes, but also Roy Hodgson. And I know he's kind of turning things around at Palace, so that kind of negates my point a little bit. But I don't think these clubs, I hear a lot, you know, why are they ignoring, or why are they so ignorant to new young managers? I don't think they are ignorant. I struggle to believe that they're not aware of managers in the Bundesliga or you know, Holland or Italy. Or I think they know about these managers, but there's a culture in the Premier League now where it's safety first, and it's encapsulated by the whole Frank de Boer episode is going to set back these kind of managers a long way. That's not to say Frank de Boer did a good job at Palace. He clearly did a bad job, but Palace went about it the wrong way. They brought in a guy who they wanted to change their style of play, someone who wasn't Premier League proven, even though he'd done reasonably well in other leagues, and was a complete flop. They didn't buy him the players that they basically had a team that was still a leftover of Sam Allardyce's, and said to a progressive coach, right, go and make them, you know, Ajax, which was never going to happen. But the fact that he failed is going to set those kind of coaches back a long way. So clubs now just go with what they know. And Pardew is one of these guys who has such a mixed record. He does have a really mixed record. He's either excellent or terrible, but he's still going to end up with a Premier League job.
Would you say it's the majority of clubs are safety first? But could you maybe say like Watford and Southampton? I wouldn't say they've taken risks, but they've gone maybe a bit out of the box. I mean, you remember Paul Merson's absolute rant when Silva got the job at Watford.
Fantastic. At Hull.
Maybe there are some clubs that isn't just safety first, but I mean, I think you're right. It seems like a lot of clubs really, it's Premier League existence, and then we'll worry about anything else after that.
Yeah, but Watford are part of that network, aren't they, of clubs? Yeah, and they're run, so they're run from a sense of a very European-centric style. I mean, just pick up on what Graham said, I do take issue with the idea that Hodgson and Moyes are part of the same sort of culture. Hodgson's old enough to be Moyes' dad, you know, so I don't agree with the idea that the two of them are from an old generation. I still think there's plenty left in Moyes to be a top class coach. But again, it comes back to the idea that, yeah, you know, there is, I mean, I think in an ideal world, I think every coach, every club, every fan of every club, of the likes of Everton and West Ham, they'd like to see the club going out and buying or bringing in, you know, Julian Nagelsmann or whoever, the next hipster young coach. And I know I'm at risk of sounding like Paul Merson here, but there is a style of football that's played in the Premier League. I don't like it. It's not the kind of football I like. It's rough, it's tumble, it's physical, and almost every team in the Premier League is largely, you know, a team of mercenaries. It's guys who've been signed for that most amount of money from any, plucked from any corner of the world, and they're put in this team, and by and large, there's very little coaching or long-term planning from one club to the next, with a few exceptions of some obvious clubs who have the money to make long-term plans. So it demands a certain type of coach who can jump into something, he can get them playing the kind of football that works in the Premier League, and then maybe in 18 months' time, he moves on to something else. And there's and these coaches that we've grown up with, the likes of Pardew, Allardyce, probably the very best at that, although the success that he's built at most clubs is based on like long-term planning, but these guys know how to do it. So I can understand there is kind of, I think there is some kind of rhyme and reason to this kind of madness.
I think, sorry, just a button there, but I think the success rate of managers who are brought in from, I don't understand why, one of the things I don't understand is, you know, how many British managers are brought into jobs and they fail, and yet I keep on hearing this narrative around British managers don't get a chance, mm-hmm. British managers, you know, when they fail, they fail. I'm sorry, I do not see that at all. I think it's the complete opposite. I think when a foreign manager comes into a club and fails, that is held against all foreign managers. And actually, if you look at the success rate of managers who, let's just say, are out of the box, because I'm not counting all foreign managers as out of the box. Jose Mourinho is hardly out of the box. But, you know, if you look at someone like Marco Silva and Pochettino have been brought in the last 5 years to the Premier League, complete unknowns. They were complete unknowns. Marco Silva, once you did your research on him, you realised had actually been a success. The same with Pochettino as well. Those two guys are now considered the vanguard of the next generation. Southampton have brought in Pellegrino, who seems to be doing a reasonable job. Claude Puel was another kind of another manager who was quite a good coup for them.
Koeman did well for them as well.
Koeman did well for them. So Southampton are the example, but when you look at all those managers, none of them you'd say have been a failure. I know Puel was sacked, but I think everyone thought he was harshly treated. Mm. And yet, you know, that's held against foreign managers more than it is against, I'd say, against British managers. You know, guys like Pardew, guys like Hodgson, you know, who's a failed England manager. When are the days where that used to be a big black mark? You would never work again, you know, yeah. And yet he's gone into a Premier League job.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a too big a gap now for a coach in the Championship to make that jump to the Premier League?
I think there is, yeah. I mean, I think when you compare English football to the other leagues around the world, specifically Spain and Germany, I think there is still there's a natural progression in these clubs where, you know, you can be a youth coach or reserve coach and then you can work your way up to first team coach, and then, you know, you earn your badges or you earn your pedigree, whatever, by doing that. There's no club really in England that does that, well, at least with the coaches that they bring through themselves, and then natural reaction is, okay, well then these coaches have to go coach in the second division, third division, Championship, League One, whatever. And I think that's still a struggle. I think we've seen, I mean, one of the best examples recently, actually, Owen Coyle, who came back to Scottish football. He was outstanding in English football for 3 or 4 seasons, has one bad year, gets relegated, and then he's out the door. So I don't think there's a lot of forgiveness. I don't think there's a lot of patience in English football for coaches. Despite building up a good reputation, it can all disappear very quickly.
Yeah, it is cutthroat. And any manager who comes through now, you basically have to take a team up. I'm thinking like Eddie Howe or Sean Dyche, you know, the two. I was racking my brains while you were talking there, Stefan. I can't think of the last manager who was plucked from the Championship for a Premier League job. Just doesn't happen. I think is the Championship and the Premier League, I think, are very different leagues. So it's kind of reflective of that. I'm not too surprised about that. And I don't know. I hear that Paul Merson rant about Marco Silva was punctuated with cries for Gary Rowett to get the Hull City job as it was at the time. I'm sorry, I don't think Gary Rowett was ready for that job. Gary Rowett wasn't even in a job at that point. So I think there is too big a gap, to be honest.
I mean, the likes of Pardew and Allardyce, they do always seem to get job offers or are in work. Are they preventing any young British managers from getting a Premier League job? Is anyone off the top of your heads that you think would be getting a chance if the likes of Pardew and Allardyce were not getting chances at these clubs?
One of the things I would put into this discussion is Premier League clubs love the idea of bringing through their own coach. a lot of them pretend that that's what they're doing. For instance, you know, Ryan Giggs was going to be the next Manchester United manager. David Unsworth, we've heard a few weeks ago, was being groomed to be the next Everton manager, and
Steve
now he's Steve Gerrard, the next Liverpool manager.
Michael Carrick now might be the next Man United manager after Mourinho.
The other one from, you know how I like MLS, but the other one everyone talks about MLS is Patrick Vieira to Manchester City. That will never happen. I can guarantee that will never happen. So they love this idea, but they never actually see it through. For instance, David Unsworth, as I've just mentioned, you know, he's done a pretty terrible job in terms of steadying the ship at Everton, and that will be his career marred now. I don't think he'll go into management. If that's what he wanted, he's going to have to go down the leagues, certainly, to get a job. Craig Shakespeare is another one at Leicester City, is now out of work for the first time in, I think, 12 years. He's not had a job in football, so or he's always had a job in football for 12 years, now he's out of work. So clubs like this idea and they never see it through, so I don't think they are really stopping many.
One word, Graham: Sherwood.
Tim Sherwood.
No, obviously he's just a random example, but yeah, I mean, I see a lot of parallels with coaching English football to actually the young players who actually can get work there through into their way into the team. You know, there are some exceptions to that. For example, Pochettino's done a very good job of bringing young players through at Tottenham. Southampton are quite good at it too, but by and large, the struggle for a young player in English football to play first team football is because these teams have the money to bring ready-made talent to the field straight away. So they don't have time, they don't have the patience to develop a player. And I think that's very much the case in coaching as well. You have a lot of good coaches. For example, Brendan Rodgers spent a long time under Jose Mourinho at Chelsea, and where else was he before then?
Swansea,
of course. You know, so before they became first team coaches. And I think that's because there's so much money with these clubs that they have to bring in someone who knows exactly what they're doing. And perfect example of that, of course, Allardyce, Pardew, for example. And that means they don't have the time and the patience to bring in a young coach. And these guys then end up having to coach League One, Championship. And then 4 or 5 years' time, you get a club like Newcastle or someone saying, oh, he's fantastic. You're like, well, you could have had him 4 years ago and you could have really built something special if you put a bit of effort and time into it and didn't think so short term.
Are there any clubs at all in the Premier League that you think are willing to break this mould or follow through, so to speak?
Well, Southampton are the obvious one, and Watford. I think also, just going back to what we were talking about there about you know, bringing through young coaches, it also works the other way. The example I'm going to bring up again is Ryan Giggs. Ryan Giggs still seems to have in his mind that he was destined for the Manchester United job, and he was. There was a genuine chance he might have got that job. You know, it seems ridiculous now, but it was Jose Mourinho or Ryan Giggs that seemed to be the choice. But he still seems in his mind to be thinking, well, he's entitled to a Premier League job. Mm-hmm. And that was when Bob Bradley, I think, got appointed Swansea manager. I remember it was leaked that he wasn't happy, that he'd been overlooked for the Swansea job. Well, I'm sorry, you haven't qualified yourself for the Swansea job. Go down the leagues. And I know that's going against what I've just said, in that very few Championship managers, if any, get plucked to go to the Premier League. But if you take a team up,
he's got the name as well, I think he's got name recognition maybe, whereas others wouldn't. He's also been linked to the Wales job this week as well.
I think the difference between the Premier League and other leagues in Europe as well, which we haven't really mentioned yet, is the fact that the Premier League isn't really English football's league, it's the world's league. I know it sounds really corny, but it's kind of true. It's not in Spain.
I'm sure that Sam Allardyce said that at Grays and Keys, Richard Grays and Keys.
Well, let me explain what I mean by that. I mean that while you have teams in Spain and Germany and Italy who are still very regional, and they're still quite, you know, mellow in the way they run the club, they still have tradition and things like that. The likes of Everton or even West Brom or Stoke, whatever, these teams aren't really English clubs. They're clubs that are represented around the world, have this bizarre global appeal and things. So they, for example, a club like Stoke have so much more pressure to do things straight away on the spot than a club like Espanyol or Espanyol's a terrible example, but like Mönchengladbach maybe, who they don't really have this worldwide mania around them that they have to appoint someone. There's constant pressure on them. So I just don't think there's the same sort of limelight that's applied to medium-sized clubs out in Germany or Spain or Italy that is applied to England, and that in turn means that this constant circus continues on.
I guess just finally and very briefly, Pardew, is he the right man for West Brom? And also, who would you like to see, or who do you think Everton should move for?
I'll take the Everton one first. The Everton one is setting an interesting precedent in that they're willing to pay £10 million for Marco Silva. They're making a bid for a manager, which I think is really interesting, because why is that not a thing that's that happens more often? You would easily pay £10 million for a player. You'd easily pay £30, £40, £50 million for a player. A manager, you know, we live in the cult of managers. We're so obsessed with managers, and they're the be all and end all for so many clubs. So why wouldn't you pay £10 million for? So I mean, if Everton have got a spare £20 million lying around, which after their summer I'm willing to bet they do, I would be paying the money to get Marco Silva. If they have been told categorically they're not getting him, I think they need to move for someone they know will guarantee success. So. Allardyce. I know that's really uninspiring and kind of goes against the grain of this whole episode. Why are the same old guys getting the same old jobs, and then at the end I'm tipping them for on the job? But yeah, they're in real trouble at the moment.
They could follow their Italian equivalents and pick up Gattuso, who announced today. West Brom,
that's going to be wild, isn't it?
A mess.
West Brom shouldn't have sacked the coach they had, so that's my answer to that one. And I've seen Martin O'Neill linked with Everton's job, and I know he's still considered a... People, I don't know why, he still has a lot of bad press around him. I think he's an outstanding coach, and Everton can do a lot worse than him. So, and if he's available because of what happened to Ireland in the World Cup, then I think Everton fans should be biting their hands off to get him.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.